The first reading is from the book of Acts, and it's on page 1101 in the Pew Bibles. It's from chapter 8, verse 26 to the end. Hear the word of our Lord Jesus Christ according to the book of Acts. Philip and the Ethiopian. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and... heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. "This is a passage of the scripture," eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is a prophet talking about himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with what very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. We can stand in the way of and be baptized. What can stand in the way of being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus, and travelled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
The resurrection has happened. So what? What now? We hear, as Jeff read to us in our story today, we have this rather strange encounter, interesting encounter, with one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, and a man from a country far, far away.
Plants in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that's made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him, on him. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten, bloody, for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he'd give himself as an offering for sin, so that he'd see life come from it. Life, life and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him.
Well, hello. It's nice to have you with us. Can I help you out of your lovely chariot? Wonderful. So, as I was saying, in our story today, we have this very interesting encounter between Philip, who was one of Jesus' disciples, and, well, this man from very far, far away. He's a very important man, as you can see from his very expensive chariot, and the fact that he has a very well cared for oxen to pull his chariot, and also from his beautiful robes and headdress or hat. He's a court official of the Queen. He's an Ethiopian. He's from so far away that Philip, Jesus' disciple, thinks that he is from the very ends of the earth to him. He speaks a different language. He looks different. He thinks differently. But Philip has been told to go and speak to this man by an angel, no less. And he hears him reading aloud these verses from scripture, from the prophet Isaiah.
Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening?
Now, the Ethiopian, even though he is smart in every sense of the word, and rich and important, when it came to knowing about God, he'd only really experienced being pushed to the edges. It's like someone coming to church and only really being allowed to sit at the back. I know for some of us it's more comfortable to sit at the back, but imagine if that was your place, that that's all you were ever allowed to do, that you weren't allowed to come and receive communion or a blessing from God. And because he was from so far away, and because he was a particular type of court official, a eunuch, he wasn't allowed to be fully part of God's family. That's what he thought. But even though he thought that, he still wanted to know God and to be part of God's family. And so he'd come to Jerusalem to join in as much as he could, to read the scriptures and to find out about God. Imagine if someone came to our church and we treated them in that way, and that they still came because they want to know God. I'm not sure. I can't imagine that happening. I think they'd probably just never set foot inside the church again. So here he is reading these scriptures, and they seem to talk about someone who wasn't really allowed in either. Someone who was kept on the outside, who wasn't allowed into the heart of the religious institution. But the scriptures talked about him as someone who God used to heal the whole world. And so he wonders,
who is this person?
Yes, he wonders, who is this person? So Philip, who has been told by this angel to go and talk to this stranger, this foreigner, this man from far, far away, hears him reading these scriptures, and realizes that he is supposed to help this man understand and discover who it is the scriptures are talking about. Philip is unschooled, is a disciple of Jesus. He's unlikely to be rich. And here we have the Ethiopian, an important and educated official of the Queen's court. The kingdom of God is indeed and always a place where our assumptions about who is important and who is worth listening to are turned upside down. So Philip teaches the Ethiopian about the person who these scriptures are all about, that there is one, Jesus, who was sent by God, someone who looked like the biggest loser in history, who upset the religious by saying that everyone is welcome in God's kingdom, that we shouldn't keep anyone out of our pews or chairs, simply because we might think they're a bit unclean or untidy or perhaps just a little bit inconvenient to us. But the religious didn't like this, and so they killed him, and it looked like he was a failure, a loser, and he was certainly on the outside of everything. You can imagine the Ethiopian hearing Philip's words. He is the Ethiopian, someone who has been kept on the outside of the walls of the religious buildings because he's not quite got the right credentials. His heart must have been racing. If this Jesus was one sent by God and he was on the outside, what does that mean about who God includes? And then Philip gives him the punchline. Yes, it looked that way. It looked like he was finished, beaten and killed, but it was a trick. They wanted to kill him and his frightening inclusive ideas. But instead, he killed death. And his ideas? Well, ideas are much more difficult to kill, are they not? And Jesus said that his ideas were from God, and he said that his ideas would not stop until they had spread to the whole city, Jerusalem, the whole county, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And remind me from where you are from, sir.
From Ethiopia.
From Ethiopia. To Philip and those who lived in Jerusalem at this time, the one place that defined to them the ends of the earth, Ethiopia. Jesus told his disciples that they would tell and tell and tell the story of the good news about Jesus' kingdom, and that God's kingdom would spread. And here was Philip being blessed by the stranger, the foreigner, being able to see that happen right before his very eyes. And so the Ethiopian goes back to his country. And he tells the story, and the story spreads. And we know this because the most ancient Christian community to this very day is found in Ethiopia. So the Ethiopian goes and tells that story, and it spreads. It does go viral, as they say nowadays. And we know it did, because we are here 2,000-ish years later in a leafy suburb of a city and a country rather further away from Jerusalem, even more than Ethiopia, from that dusty land that Philip walked. And we continue to receive that story into our hearts, the story of Jesus. And we continue to be those who have now the responsibility to hand it on to the next person who says to us, who is this person? Who is this Jesus that I keep hearing about? Let me ask you to try and remember the first time that you heard about Jesus. You might have been too young to remember, or it might be a more recent encounter. Who told you the story of Jesus? If we are people who know Jesus, then by nature of that fact, someone must have passed that story on to us. A Philip who handed on the story and invited us to live it. And so here we are, all of us, invited and called to be like Philip, to be those who have received the story, who have lived it, and who continue to hand it on to those who are waiting to receive it. Because the good news of Jesus's all-inclusive kingdom really needs to be told in Wealdstone and in London and wherever the ends of the earth for you are. And we are called to be those who tell that story. The resurrection has happened. So now what? Now what? The story continues. And you, if you want to be, are part of it. Amen.